on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, hour three. This program, Jay, is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Just found out Cardinals-Cubs canceled tonight. Cardinals more positive tests for COVID.
That's not the positive news we wanted to hear.
No. We want to see Cards-Cubs this time of year. It's August.
I want to hear Chris Bryant talk about how boring St. Louis is.
It's August. But you're not going to see it. That's such a bummer. It's such a bummer. They're not doing it in the bubble. You know who is doing it in the bubble? The NHL and the NBA. And it's time to talk a little NHL hockey with our good friend Tony Loughman. Tony, are you there, buddy?
Randy and Jason, I don't know that there's been a more exciting phone call in my life because I am one of the biggest fans of cheap seats ever.
Dude, thank you, brother.
We love it, and we're fans of yours, man. We are excited to talk about, thank you, by the way, but we are excited to talk about these NHL, sort of the playoffs, the seeding.
The ramp up.
It was, to me, as I was trying to figure it out, it was like I described earlier, a magic eye photo. You're like, I don't understand what I'm looking at right now. There's a round robin. There are four seeds that are set. Then it's like the NCAA tournament. All the 12 seeds are beating the five seeds. What's happening, brother?
We love competitive balance as sports fans. And you brought up the NCAA tournament. Patrick Kane actually made that same parallel before it all got started. And all of us know, come March Madness, how dangerous the 12-5 matchup
always,
is.
Always. Always. Yeah.
Always. Somewhere in Missouri, Tigers fans are thinking back to Kareem Rush and that 12 seed that went all the way to the Elite Eight.
Yes,
right.
So the 12 seeds, naturally, coming into this, everyone had their attention on them. Montreal was lucky just to get into the playoffs. At a certain point, before the pause of the regular season, they had less than a tenth of a percent chance of going to the playoffs.
Wow.
Obviously, COVID happens and everything changes. And now they're one win away from eliminating the Pittsburgh Penguins. It's incredible. And then last night, what an incredible, the high drama. Mm. The Leafs are up 3-0 on Columbus.
Yep.
And Columbus scores four straight goals, including an overtime game winner, a hattie from Pierre-Luc Dubois. These playoffs, Rome has said it himself before, that there's nothing more exciting than the Stanley Cup playoffs. The car crash endings are incredible.
Look,
the Blues losing on the last second shot.
The Blues lost last night too, but the Blues are safe. They're in that top four in the West. But, you know, as Blues fans, the two of us growing up in St. Louis, huge fans of St. Louis, the comeback the Blues made last year in a regular year was epic and great. And I feel like hockey allows for that. You get a goaltender to stand on his head. You can be an ace seed like the Kings were in 2010 or whatever. And you can make a run. That's what's so great about hockey.
I love the parallel to Jonathan Quick because it took that same level of confidence. You're absolutely right. He won the Conn Smythe that year and deserved it. Jordan Binnington last year, coming into the year, he's the fourth, you guys know all this, the fourth string goalie for the St. Louis Blues.
Yep.
Come spring, he's the guy that leads them. He's the only rookie in the history of the league over a century of play to win 16 playoff games. And there have been some great goalies. Game 7, and we all know how particular athletes can be.
Yeah.
Pitchers, goalies. That kid stood 2 feet away from me during the press availability.
Yeah.
Typically, goalies don't talk. Certainly not Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final. I'm telling you, his resting pulse has to be like 60. Mine's about 140. I'm not playing in the game.
Right.
And I just knew this kid's going to play great. He did. They won the cup. One of the great Cinderella stories ever.
Well, and it was a great, again, hockey delivering a Game 7. The fact that the Blues had a chance to close out Boston in St. Louis in Game 6, they put themselves in position to win the cup at home and couldn't. You know you're going back to an unbelievably difficult place to play in a Game 7 where they're like, we've got another chance.
And the pressure of all the missed Game 7s and all the missed chances.
You almost have to be, you look at Binnington, you almost have to be so young and dumb the way we were young and dumb. And I don't mean he's dumb. He's a smart kid. I'm just saying dumb to the circumstances.
Dumb to the history.
Dumb to the history. You don't allow those demons to get inside your head, which is what you're saying.
I get paralysis from analysis. Yes. I am one of the great warriors in the history of society. Yes. I'm good at it.
Yeah.
Every single day. I'm the Cal Ripken of worry. I'm so good at it.
Yeah, you're great. You never missed a day. You're an Iron Man of worrying.
I'm Glenn Hall when it comes to worry. Every period, I'm great at it. Mm-hmm. I mean, all of us have our strengths. In your case, it was when you guys kept saying Zubaz.
That's right.
In that one episode of the
Zubaz.
I was dying. Dying.
Jesus Christ.
For George Binnington, it's that he has a short memory when it comes to a goal getting by him.
Yeah.
And he's got the memory of an elephant when it comes to him playing well. All of these guys have to be confident. I mean, all of them.
Yep.
And then throw in the human interest piece. We all fell in love with the Layla Armstrong story, that courageous girl battling a rare form of cancer.
The best.
The St. Louis Blues were so classy, mm-hmm. the way that they handled all that. You mentioned they could have clinched in six. They didn't. The team flies her and her mom to Boston. They win the cup, and then it's Colton Parayko with her saying, "We want it." I'm yep. getting goosebumps just talking about it.
I'm tearing up. I say to my kids, I'm like, you guys want to see Daddy cry? And then I look at the video of her mom telling her they get to go to the game. I lose it.
Yeah.
Lose it
we
like a baby.
We texted, and of course, all of our friends. We're texting old friends from high school because we rooted for this team for years, and they were good. They were not a non-playoff team. Those Brett Hall, Adam Oates years, they were great in the 80s, and they were great in the 90s, but they just couldn't get over the hump. So we've had successful teams, but have never done it. We literally texted John Hamm before the game and just said, Layla in the building. That's all we said.
I love it.
And that's so it is that that is hot. But for hockey to do that, and our friends who are Capitals fans, we've got a lot of Washington Capitals
2 years
fans,
ago feel the same way.
And you think like
show me Ovechkin in a fountain just having fun and frolicking, and I'm like, right. I could watch that for an hour.
But is it contrast that to the 5 years in a row when Golden State was winning the, you know what I mean? It's a different thing. Anybody can win in the NHL.
Vegas making it to the final. I feel like the NHL is always a wide open race. I feel like watching the NHL even now without crowds is still exciting because of the camera angles on the ice. It's hockey. You don't really, obviously we miss the cutaways to the crowds going crazy, but still it feels very close as far as the contact sports are concerned. It feels the closest thing to the real thing.
I'm 100% with you. Frank Sinatra taught me never to drop names, but Charles Barkley last year before game 7 of the Cup final,
yep.
the parallel you guys drew to the NBA finals, Charles himself, the Charles Barkley, mm-hmm. said he doesn't enjoy the NBA playoffs as much as he does the Stanley Cup playoffs.
That's right.
Because you don't know what's coming.
Mm-hmm. You don't. Anything can happen, and it's four lines. Anything can happen from your team. It might be your fourth line might be the line that is out against their top line. Why? Because those guys are dogs. Those guys are out there fighting. Those guys are forechecking. Those guys are in the corners. Those guys are making it tough on there. So imagine in baseball, putting your number four starter against their number one to pitch game 7. That's what you're doing. And that's what hockey affords you in that way. It's egalitarian.
There's a built-in humility because of that. So even if, like, LeBron can and has played 48 minutes in an NBA Finals game, no matter how good Wayne Gretzky ever was, and he was the greatest scorer who ever lived, he still had to watch basically two-thirds of the game. Hockey teams appreciate every guy down to the skate sharpener, the trainers. It takes a whole team, as you point out. The fourth liner may be the guy who's the hero who scores the cup clincher.
Agreed, 100%. Although the only thing I don't agree with is I think Wilt Chamberlain may have been the greatest scorer of all time. But that's in a different context.
Just ask the ladies.
Folks!
Well, let's talk about it. I mean, again, we've had some if the Montreal Canadiens get into the playoffs, it will be an unbelievable story.
Who are you feeling right now as obviously a surging and emerging team? And who, in your opinion, as we head into these playoffs, looks poised to make a deep run?
The Philadelphia Flyers. And it's a great story because it's the first year of Lane Vigneault. He has taken two teams to the Cup final before and been turned back. It was a decade ago, basically, 2011, when he was able to take Vancouver there. They lose on home ice in game 7. He takes the Rangers in 2014. They lose to the Kings. The way Philly can play, their depth on defense and Carter Hart in net, I'm blown away by just how improved they are in a single year. And Carter Hart's 21 years old. Mm-hmm. There's so much pressure playing goalie in Philly, and he's impervious to it. He's wide open about the fact that he uses mental training, and that to me, you guys were talking about it earlier, the importance of that mental focus and what it takes in order to excel. Carter Hart has it. So I'm real big on the Flyers and Philly fans. It's been a long time. 74-75, they're only two cups. Fred Fogg Shiro, their coach, said, win today and we walk together forever. I think this team has a chance to do that kind of thing, that kind of special achievement.
We're Broad Street Bullies 2.0.
I know. We're talking to Tony Loughman of the NHL Network. So great to have you on the show. And great to just dig in and really hear, you know, I think, fine, Philadelphia, absolutely. The Colorado Avalanche, I mean, that team is, and to me, is just always the fastest team. They're unbelievable.
Nathan MacKinnon, watching him skate is prodigious. He gallops. Yep. He will forever be known as the second greatest player out of Cole Harbour, Nova Scotia. Happy 33rd birthday to Sidney Crosby.
Yep. Right on.
Hey, there's no shame in that, by the way.
Yeah.
Nope. 87, there's 87 because he was born on 8-7.
Mm-hmm.
Easy for me to remember.
Yep.
In addition to wearing every day, I'm also very good at remembering that because
yes.
Crosby so amazing.
Of course.
What a player. Yet he and his teammates, as we've discussed, have their backs against the wall.
On the ropes.
The 5-12, full credit to the league for figuring out a way to be able to fairly handle what happened. And to your point about the Colorado Avalanche, that team benefited greatly because now everybody's healthy.
That's right.
Them being totally healthy is a huge deal. Joe Sakic put together an amazing roster, and we're getting to see them play. They are special.
I mean, those Joe Sakic teams were, you know, you'd think back to those teams, Forsberg, Sakic, those teams were just, they were incredible. They almost changed the way hockey was played in a certain way. You know, like how a style of a team comes along and you say to yourself, they are actually influencing the way the league is at this point.
And that's the ultimate compliment. Dave Reed was alongside me last night. He was a member of that 0-1 team. Forsberg goes down in the second round, and I think everybody on earth, except for that team, thought they're done.
They're finished.
They're cooked.
Right.
And they're playing the Devils in the Cup Final, the reigning champion New Jersey Devils with Scott Stevens.
Yep.
And all the and
the blue line trap. The blue line trap.
Yes. But the compliment you paid, I think, is really significant. There's going to be a champion every year. But not every champion changes the game. And the rivalry between the Avs and the Wings during those late 90s,
yep.
And specifically Joe Sakic and Patrick Waugh. But Sakic, the way he could score, the way he saw the whole ice, not every player becomes a successful executive, but he's so smart. It's great to see him excel at that role the way he has.
I mean, look at sports in Denver. So you got Sakic, who is in the, you know, he's there. And he's
he did it there, and now he's doing it upstairs.
Elway did it in Denver, and now he's there. I mean, it is rare that you do find that guy who basically defined a franchise to then step forward years later. But I think it connects us to the past. It connects us to the champions of the past. And that means something. That tradition, I do believe it means something in the sport.
It totally does, and I want to share a story with you guys because
Please.
You're Blues fans. After game one of the Cup Final last year, I go up to Tyler Bozak, who, by the way, had a gorgeous assist last
yes.
night.
Yes.
I go up to Bozak, and I said, I saw you during the skate talking with Larry Robinson, who only has about 40 Stanley Cup rings.
Yeah.
And I said, what were you talking to him about? He said, he was just telling us to keep it loose, and, you know, it's going to be a long series. I got to be honest with you, and I'm wrong all the time on predictions. I thought your Blues were going to lose in, like, 5 games, if not 4. And it turned out it was a great move by Craig Berube and that organization, Doug Armstrong, to have a Larry Robinson around because the point you guys make about culture is huge.
Mm-hmm.
That is such a massive piece. We all knew the Blues had never gotten to the mountaintop. Well, Larry Robinson basically has a chateau at the mountaintop.
Yes, he lives up there. He gets his mail up there.
Right?
Yes. And it was so cool that he was able to pass along that level of calm. Tyler Bozak was right. Larry Robinson was right. It was going to be a long series, and in the end, your Blues won it.
I mean, the Bob Plager, if you watched any of those videos.
Of him just walking the hallways because he couldn't even watch.
He was like Vinny Testaverde's dad. Like, he couldn't watch anything. He had to walk around. He's like, where is Plager in the stadium?
You Plager's know what I mean? Like outside. He's in the men's room. You're like, God, follow this dude. He's so
but
nervous.
When they won and his excitement, I think, to fans shows you what lifelong hockey fans feel when something exciting or new happens.
Amen to all of that. You guys bringing up Testaverde gives me a chance to go back to your Rose Bowl when there's a shadow on the field and you say, good to have Nell Carter flying overhead. I've never laughed harder at television in my life. I'm 44. I've watched The Office. I've watched all the great shows through the years.
Oh, man.
Maybe the greatest line in television.
Thank you. I forgot about that. That was a good
May she rest in peace.
May she rest in peace. And as a fellow Jew, we love her. I cannot wait for these playoffs to unfold. Like you said, the 5-12 matchups, the fact that it is the way that it is, anything's possible.
We'll keep our eye on the Flyers. Obviously, we'll keep an eye on the Blues because those are
yeah,
our
how can people follow you and get all of your great information so that tell our folks here how they can follow you in these playoffs?
Watch us on NHL Tonight. It's NHL Network. We've got coverage before and after every game. And what I'm most proud of is the way that our front office has put together an amazing team of analysts, whether it's Dave Reed and his two cup.
Oh, yes. You guys are the best.
We played in the 0-2 Cup Final. Their analysis, I got to be honest, I don't know the game. When I was in college, a guy said to me, you could stand in a parking lot, but that's not going to make you a car.
Yeah.
Being around the game is great, but being around these analysts and the way that they can break it down on TV in real time, that's our special sauce. And I love it.
I lived with you guys during that playoff run for the Blues last year, and you guys did such a great job. So NHL Network, before and after the games, now is the time to get excited about us. Playoff hockey. We're in it. Dude, thank you so much for joining us.
Tony Luffman, my man. Thank you, brother.
And Jason, my pleasure. Thank you.
All right, we're out. All right, let's take a break.
We're going to take
a break.
That's
a great segment. Getting deep in the
hockey. Got me jacked up for hockey again, and I was already that way, but I knew if we talked to him, his energy is infectious. I love that.
We're like the fourth line on this show. We have a very special guest coming up, and we're going to settle some information that was put out there.
Does Ozzie Guillen hate Nick Swisher? If you want to really find out, you got to stick around other side of this break.
It is the Sklar Brothers filling in for Jim Rome on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show. Feeling sorry for myself.
Oh, 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 yeah, 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 yeah. All right. Here we go.
My morning jacket is on.
We did Fleet Foxes, now we're my morning jacket. By the way, huge tweet of the day, Granger. As you get back to business, Granger's there to help with supplies and solutions for every industry. Free access to product specialists, safety recovery guides, 24/7 support, and more. Visit Granger.com/recovery. Granger, for the ones who get it done, we'll do that. Do we need to do it now? We can do it later, right? We can do the huge tweet later. We'll do it at maybe the end.
I like the tweet about Randy wearing that shirt on national television. This is Jeff in Lincoln.
Yeah.
It's like showing up at a party with
a Connor in your sweatpants.
No, it's Connor.
I think it's Connor. Oh, okay. That's what it was. Yeah, that's it. We'll give that the big tweet of the day. Excellent
Jeff
job,
and
Jeff
in nice,
Lincoln.
Nice.
You
nice
brought job. It. You brought it. Jay, I don't know. By the way, do we have an update? I think he's still, Lee is still at 8-under. Tiger Woods has not teed off yet. 8-under.
This is when schadenfreude comes into play in golf. You're rooting for dudes to do badly before you can even touch
the court. Except that, and we were kind of talking about this with the guys in the break, it is nice to see guys scoring in majors. It's nice to see guys putting birdies on the board. And I watched yesterday, so many dudes hit 50-foot putts yesterday. It was out of control. So in the morning when the greens were softer, guys were dropping in putts like nobody's business. That was fascinating. That's fun to watch.
Right. But the afternoon, you know, it's at San Francisco. Like the fog rolls in, it gets cold. It's a different course.
It's San Francisco. Like you see more people in San Francisco walking around wearing parkas and flip-flops than anywhere else.
Right.
And by the way, they're right on the top and the bottom. It's like so hot, you got to be in flip-flops. And then they're like in a goose down parka and a mask.
It's going to be a fun weekend. There are a lot of recognizable names on the leaderboard. I like it. I'm excited. Let's shift focus.
You know what was really fun the other day was listening to Ozzie Guillen on a Comcast
sports
desk show, I guess, for baseball. He was doing analysis, talk about, kind of out of the blue, how much he hated Nick Swisher.
Nick Swisher.
Do we have that sound? Let's check.
Oh, my God. Nick, nobody can compare that with Nick Swisher.
No, compare what?
I hate Nick Swisher.
Wow.
With my heart.
With his heart?
Really?
Yes.
Okay. You want to get into that a little more or no?
No, not really, but I think he hates me back. That's not the wrong
way. He hates him back.
You guys just didn't get along. Didn't work out.
No. I never talked to him. I was managing him, but I don't like the way his attitude was all fake.
Yeah.
And I don't like fake people.
All right. So he was only in with the White Sox for 1 year, and then he moved on.
It was 1 year too long.
Wow. Well.
All right. Let's follow up. Excuse me.
Shots fired across the bow.
Do we have him on the line?
I think we do have Ozzie Guillen on the line. We want to talk to him, and we've spoken to him many times on our podcast, View from the Cheap Seats. If you aren't subscribed to our podcast, it's sports and comedy.
Get on it.
Get on it right now. A new episode dropped today. Good times and good stuff. Ozzie Guillen is with us on the phone. Ozzie, are you there?
Hey, you guys.
Yeah.
Hey, how are you, Randy and Jason?
We're good. How are you doing, Ozzie? This is a big week.
What's happening in the jungle?
Well, the jungle is good. We're having a good time.
We like to call it the sklungle when we do it. Do you like that?
Because he's a jungle and he's sklar, so it's the sklungle.
That's right. Well, at least, look, I know for a long time you were in a slump. Were you not in a bad slump?
I was in a slump for a long time, but then I came out of that one. But you know, the same way that it's clungled, it's like breakfast and lunch. They make that into brunch.
That's right.
That's 100%. Yeah. Right.
That's a combination. Right. Well, you kind of had Nick Swisher for brunch the other day.
You took his lunch.
Can you explain or expand a little bit more on why it is you have an issue with Nick Swisher?
I can't believe that this one is that people care about that.
Because
I've been out of the league. I win the World Series, and then they get rid of me. But hey, if people want to talk about Nick Sweatshirt, I hate Nick Sweatshirt.
Did you say Nick Sweatshirt?
I always hate this guy.
But why? What did he do to you? That hate is a strong
word. It's a strong word, Ozzie. Oh, I think we might have. He might have gotten.
I have a good server, but can you hear me?
Yes, we got you. I'm sure. Are you on a Boost Mobile or a? Where are you?
Yeah, I have a couple burner phones.
Oh.
Okay. Because I can't explain to you why, but I have to always have a burner phone. Yeah. But listen to me. I don't like Nick Swisher. I don't like the way he have an attitude or his face.
He's fake. You said it.
How is he?
Look at this guy. He had the look. He had the look like he was a cast member from the OC.
Yes,
right.
But he's a baseball.
He's a little bit too good looking for the baseball.
Oh
wow!
So what about? I mean, look. But there are other guys who are kind of like Bryce Harper. Looks like he just walked out.
Zach Greinke.
These are good looking guys. But these guys don't. Jim Palmer used to pose in underwear. He was a model.
Did you hate that guy for that?
I hate all these guys. Hey, if you're gonna play baseball, then you should. Every baseball player should look a little bit like Young Kruk.
Like John Kruk. Yeah.
Yeah, you should look like John Kruk or look like me.
Yeah. Well, you're a good-looking guy. I mean, you're fiery. You're good.
I don't know. I mean, talk to my wife.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sometimes she don't agree about that. But it doesn't matter because hey. I love to play the game. I like guys that are grinder. I like Pete Rose.
Yeah.
You know, all these guys. I like get your jersey dirty. Yeah. I don't want to see about a guy that look like he have about a gallon and a half of depth in his hair.
Yeah, you don't want a lot of stuff. I know, but Pete Rose was hawking Grecian formula back in the day. Just to let you know.
Not for nothing.
Yeah, but I'm sorry, but this guy, Pete Rose, not a good-looking guy.
No, he's not.
He's not a good-looking guy. And that, for me, that helps you as a player.
That not having the good looks helps you as a player.
It makes you work harder.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I, because he's distracting. If you're that good-looking, then you go up to the plate. All you're thinking about is, man, oh, man, my face is so symmetrical.
Yes, that's a problem.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's a distraction to me.
Yeah.
And then I see this guy in the clubhouse. He look in the mirror, and I'm thinking, hey, this mirror. Is distracted by the way this guy looks.
The mirror is
distracted. That's how good looking is.
The mirror can't even do its job.
I need the mirror to be focused in on the game.
Right. you want the mirror to be focused.
That's how much. So that's how you want to do. You led a focus team. You won a World Series.
You won a World Series.
Think about this. My third base coach. He talk about send the signal down there.
Yeah.
Okay. He touches ear. He touches nose. He talk about hit and run. But if he sees a Nick sweatshirt out there,
yeah.
He look at this guy's face. All of a sudden, he's doing different hand signals,
yeah.
And suddenly he's rubbed his chest.
Yeah,
right.
And then
and that's the wrong signal.
Because he's attracted to that guy.
Oh, okay. Maybe. Well, maybe. I don't know.
So you want everyone to look like Bobby Jenks.
You everyone should look like Bobby Yank, this guy. Talk about a baseball player. This guy, this is the kind of guy that look like, hey, he could be a baseball player or he could be a drive long haul cross country. You know what I mean?
He could do either of those things.
He's like a Rick Russell.
He literally looked like, I love Rick Russell. Rick Russell to me, same another guy.
Yeah.
He looked to me like a guy that you say, hey, wait a second. How come this guy from my bowling team is now pitching for the Cubs?
What?
I like to make a whole team of people that look like the guys from your neighborhood that are always upset about something. You know, like someone stole my mail. I want the guy to start a shortstop for the guy who looked like, hey, who stole my mail? That should be what he looked like.
It's a better team. It's a better idea. At least they be.
That's what I'm talking about. I
mean, at least they be
the
focused.
Guys, think about this. You know, these guys out there, not great looking guys. By the way, Mike Trout. Okay, is this guy the best player in the game right now?
Yeah.
I tell you right now, he's not a great-looking guy.
No, he's got no neck. He's got no neck.
He have no neck. He looked like a angry lobster.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
In certain ways. Yeah. In certain ways, he does. So here's the deal. You have all this great baseball knowledge, okay? You've got all this pent-up anger about Nick Sweatshirt. So how are you?
Nick Sweatshirt make George Clooney. You know, he make it look like, you know, the who's a Ron Howard brother?
Oh, Clint Howard.
Yeah.
Nick Swisher makes George Clooney look like Clint Howard.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's
what I'm talking about. Think about that. That's difficult for everyone to wrap their head around.
Okay. So
I don't know.
So when is an MLB team going to get wise and hire you to be a manager? You still have a ton of knowledge. You've got a lot to give to the game.
Listen to me. I play the game the way that it should be played. I send a runner all the time. I leave the pitcher in until their arm is dead. And I like to throw it back. I like the players to get their uniform dirty.
Yeah.
And the guy that play hungover.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of game that I play. Mm. I'm a throwback guy. Let's have some fun. We're in a COVID right now. You know, you want to make a bubble. Put me in the bubble.
Yeah.
Put you in the bubble. So you heard it, MLB. I mean, and I love how upbeat you are. I mean, it is so fun to talk to you. You sound very upbeat.
Are you that upbeat underneath it all?
Hey, listen to me. I every time I talk to you, guy, I'm a naturally upbeat guy.
Sure.
But then I talk to you, guy, and then you put a question in my head, and now I'm thinking about it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You don't know. Okay.
I know. I think about it. Maybe I have something I need to reflect on. Maybe I'm not in a great place right now.
Yeah. Well, listen, I want you to take care of yourself because you could be coaching in the league if we can do that. Or at the very least, we can get you to be as – because you still live in the Chicago area. Is that right?
Oh, listen, I'm never going to leave Chicago because I like to stay as close to where the dumpster fire happened.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
I understand.
I like to stay close because the dumpster fire still give off a lot of heat.
That's right. Well, so listen, if we can't get you a job with a major league team, we can get you a job as a greeter at the Schaumburg Williams-Sonoma, which I know you love Williams-Sonoma.
I love Williams-Sonoma because Williams-Sonoma, they have everything that you need because you think that they only have the plate and the knife, the china and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But no. You can also get a lot of different artisanal jam and different, they have a cheese. No one knows that Williams-Sonoma have a cheese. You can get a full meal at Williams-Sonoma. They don't even know about that.
I didn't even know.
I'm telling Williams-Sonoma in Schaumburg, go hire this guy in the meantime.
Yes.
Who does not want me? And here's the thing about I'm not going to be a Nick Sweatshirt. I'm going to be a guy. I'm not going to scare people away from shopping. I'm going to be the guy that go, hey, this guy over here, he looked like somebody, like a cousin of mine that I'm not intimidated by. Yeah. And please, can you show me where the chafing dish is?
Yep.
The chafing dish.
Listen, you're going to show him where the chafing dish is, and I appreciate that. Ozzie Guillen, thank you for joining us on the show. I wish you the best.
I hope you land somewhere.
Me too. I really do.
All I need is a plane and a runway.
Yep.
Then he'll land somewhere.
Plane or runway. And Nick Sweatshirt, watch out.
Look out.
You better dirty your uniform up or else Ozzie Guillen's coming after you. Thanks, buddy.
I love you guys. Please be safe out there and stay safe.
All right, there we go.
That's he always makes
unbelievable.
Me
he comes every time he comes with it and he brings it. Are we doing a sports update, boys? Let's do it. I'm going to throw a little sports update, the latest sports update from Bob Huesler. Bob, take it away, buddy.
CBS Sports Radio.
Sports.
All right, guys. I can't believe how this 3 hours went by today.
Woo. Thanks for tweeting at us, Sam in Grand Rapids. I love it when the Sklars host the show. Best sub pimps on the planet. I'll take it. Great takes, great interviews, great love. And they keep it fun. And great to hear Ozzy in the jungle.
The jungle.
I hate Nick's sweatshirt, too. We got to get Ozzy a yob.
Get him a yob. He need a yob.
At SA Sports Honk, the only thing more exciting than watching 14 NBA games in 13 days is eating 40 crappy pizzas in 30 days. Sincerely, Papa John.
There you go. 40
pizzas in 30 days.
That's just outrageous.
Speaking of John in New York, are you kidding me? CBS Sportsnet, I don't care who's sitting in. How do you put the Hall of Famer, HOFer show on the downgrade list? Agree. I agree.
Yeah.
At one for the... I can't even read this.
Dad, we just got preempted by the Champions League. That's
C1. Horace Grant is still bummed from having dinner from the Magic Club, signed MJ. All right.
There you go. All right. O'Reilly Auto Parts asked the pros. It's time to answer the pros question, even though we don't have one yet.
Because, yeah.
The internet. Where you, the sclones, get to submit a question to CBS Sports Radio and Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car and car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. The question is, will Ozzy get a yacht?
That is the question, and I think he
and
will.
And as the pros, I say, William Sonoga in Schaumburg, Illinois, hire this dude. You can get a full meal there. That's all I'm going to say. Jay, you got any more?
I got this one. This is from Wooglin, 1839. I rely heavily on my fourth line. Also, regards, Irie Craig.
There you go.
That's just a guy doing cocaine.
That's right. Let's get into this last story. We have one more story. Let's see if we can bring it home.
Yes.
We have 10 minutes to go. One more story. Can we bring it home?
Here? I'm not sure if you guys saw this or if you heard about it, because it's kind of slipped through the corona cracks, this story from the NFL. As Patriots players continue to opt out for the season, 66 players made it by the opt-out deadline. Not on the Patriots, but total. But yeah. I think 47 of them were on the Patriots.
Okay.
Bud Light is offering to give one of two cities, Denver or Detroit, free beer, and it all hinges on which team's kicker kicks the longest field goal this season. I got to say, Ram, before we even get into this, this feels like more of a Milwaukee's Best promotion. Am
the
I right?
Beast!
Of course, they would add in like a beer bong for the first 50,000 people who redeem the offer.
You got to drink it off a beer bong at the top of the stadium.
Okay, so Bud Light offering free beer for an entire city.
How does that work, Jay?
Is that for kids, too?
Our dad would have been like, drink it. It's free.
I don't care that you hate the taste. It's free. Stop crying.
You're 7 years old.
It's free.
It's free.
Drink it and don't tell your mom.
How did it become a two-city race, Jay?
I'll tell you, okay? Originally, they put the offer out to Denver. Bud Light offered to give the whole city of Denver a beer, including people in AA.
That's a terrible idea.
This is if their kicker, Brandon McManus, could break the record for the longest field goal in NFL history. That's
64 yards.
McManus said in an interview that he wanted to break the record set by Matt Prater this year. And Bud Light listened to the interview. They heard it. They're listening to everything, by the way, that we say in our lives through our Alexas.
That's good to know.
And our Apple Watches.
That's good to know.
They're spying on us.
Sure.
They responded with the offer to give the whole city of Denver
a beer. If McManus kicks
not a beer, I think it's beer. I don't know.
Could be more than one.
So yeah, all he has to do is kick a 65-yarder this year.
That's all he's got to do.
And by the way, let me remind you people that Denver, before it was a weed town, and it is definitely a weed town right now.
It was a beer town, but now it is a weed town. Weed is legal there. It is a weed town.
Before the coronavirus, we used to go every October to do shows at Comedy Works, which is one of the best comedy clubs in the country.
We'll be back there.
And when we go, usually in October, there's a beer festival, which for years felt right. But now that Denver's a weed town,
you say
the beer festival feels out of place.
A like, beer festival in Denver.
In a weed town
is like having a book festival in Colorado Springs.
Doesn't make sense.
Doesn't fit.
Unless it's the good book.
That's right.
All right. So city's mile high. One beer goes farther.
Yeah, it does. One beer will get you messed up.
I'm guessing people will be up for it. And if
they'll be up for it.
If you have any doubts that people want free stuff, just watch any NBA game when fans are there in between the third and fourth quarters when they wheel out
the Spirit Squad.
When they start firing off T-shirts.
And by the way, these are the worst made T-shirts made by a 2-year-old in Thailand. They're terrible.
They're thick. They're not
fair
soft.
Trade. They don't fit right. But you'll see people like...
People who never in a million years would ever wear the shirt.
Like Fortune 500 CEOs like trampling kids to get this crappy shirt.
That's being shot out like it's a pair of Gucci sunglasses.
Nope.
People start pushing on people to grab this shirt that will never fit you, no matter what size you wear.
A shirt that's got like 9 sponsors on it that you would never, ever wear this shirt.
Like in a month, it's going to become like a rag that you use to like restain your teak table.
And they're pushing people out of the way to get just because it's being shot from a T-shirt cannon.
So free beer, even if it's Bud Light, even if it was Milwaukee's best, it will be loved. It will be coveted. People will go after it. So Bud Light, all set to offer Denver. Hey, free beer if this guy kicks a 65-yard field goal. And then Matt Prater, the guy who holds the record, chimes in with a tweet. And he says, hey, what if I beat... Tweets at Bud Light.
At Bud Light.
Hey, what if I beat my own record? What are we going to do for the city of Detroit? I like that, Moxie.
So that's a loaded question, but I like that he's
getting... What are you going to do for the city of Detroit?
Matt Prater put the whole city of Detroit on his leg.
On his thin shoulders.
On his leg.
What are you going to do for the city of Detroit? Are you going to get him that Wayne Fonts statue they've always wanted?
Hey, he's going to be crying.
It's a statue, and it's also a fountain.
Because he's crying.
And the fountain, tears come down from under his eyes, and that's the fountain.
How is there not a Wayne Fonts statue outside of Detroit's stadium with just tears coming down his eyes?
He should be in front of like a waterworks store.
By the way, Dick Vermeil, same statue.
Detroit is... It's the kind of city, and Lions fans are the type of fans that they don't need a free beer.
They need a free shot of Jägermeister or a free bump of cocaine.
They need weed edibles.
Mm-hmm.
They need Trevor Lawrence.
That's what they need
when you think about it. They need a good quarterback. Sorry, Matt Stafford. You're fine, but no. So Bud Light, God bless him, again, listened. Listen to Detroit. Listen to Matt Prater.
They adjusted the situation the way a drunk guy at the end of the night is like, where are we going? We're going this way. I'm going with you.
And they heard Matt Prater loud and clear, so they changed the rules of the competition. Now it's Denver against Detroit. Now it's not even about breaking the 64-yard field goal record.
This is city versus city.
Kicker versus kicker. It's about which kicker kicks a longer field goal during the 2020 season. And I like this competition because if they only get one game off,
you still have an answer.
This
is D&D.
I'm going to assume.
I wonder if this makes it into the team's game plan. So they'd normally punt, but they're like, we got to get beer for this city. Let's try and kick a 68-yarder.
Let's do something for the city of Detroit. And when you think about it, think about like a Clippers game. There's the thing now, or there's the thing like if an opposing player misses 2 straight free throws in the third or fourth quarter against the Clippers at the Staples
Center.
Everyone
gets Shake Shack.
Chick-fil-A, I think it is. Fine. Something like that. So you get something free. Again, food that you may not necessarily choose, but once you find out it's free with
you're
the
like,
ticket,
great,
you're
like, I'll take
that.
It. Yeah.
I'll have some of that. So this now you got something else to play for, Detroit. It doesn't matter who you lose to or how you lose the games. If you get a kicker who can kick one long field goal, and you better be screaming for that field goal all season long.
It's so much on the kickers now. Kickers have been practicing social distancing from their teams for years.
Kickers have been like in a pandemic forever.
I will argue that most kickers don't even have a locker in their team's locker room.
They've been getting dressed at home forever.
They get dressed at home.
They don't practice with the team. They don't do the drills with the team. No one interviews them. They got separate places where they hang out. They're ready for this pandemic.
Which, by the way, is crazy because how many kickers have decided Super Bowls.
Think about it.
Kickers have decided the
Super Bowls, last second games.
If you don't think the kicker is
so important to the game. So the kickers are so important to teams and they have zero camaraderie with it. And I'm just talking out. I don't know. I have no idea. Maybe they're a huge part of the team.
Yeah.
Adam Vinatieri, maybe he was right, you know, chopping it up with everyone in the mix. But I'll tell you right now,
maybe he and Jeff Saturday would just go out hounding.
But I do feel like the kickers are not second-class citizens, but they're out of the fray.
Yeah.
They don't feel like they're part of the team necessarily. They feel socially distanced and sequestered.
That's it.
So they're ready to handle this pandemic. I don't think we're going to see a drop-off in kickers.
No, we're not.
And kicking.
In the great Bud Light Beer Challenge of 2020. they're responsible for ruining sobriety for so many people in their cities.
They're going to put cities on their backs, on their little legs.
That's right.
I don't know. I think this is going to be a thing. Parents running out of their houses in Matt Prater jerseys. This is what I want.
Free Bud Light trucks here.
To me, there should be a beer truck like an ice cream truck for adults.
That's
right?
It.
Comes cranking down the lane.
We
with
can't
that
go to bars. And
Jack in the Box, bell sounding version of a song that
like
you know.
White Snake.
Here
doon,
I go.
Doon, 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 doon,
and like, yes. And parents look up from washing the dishes or getting their kids sitting in front of Netflix, and they just run outside in their Matt Prater jerseys, and they get on their knees, and they look to the sky, and they say, thank you.
Get me my free beer.
Give me my free tall boy, and it should be a tall boy.
All right, I'm just going to say this about the huge call of day brought to you by Eno, the Capital One assistant that looks out for your surprise credit card charges and helps if you need to fix them. Eno, another way Capital One is watching out for your money. When you're not Capital One, what's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details. Guys, we're coming back on Wednesday, so lots of good stuff planned for that. Great guests and whatnot. We've loved doing this. Thank you, Jim Rome. Have a great weekend, everybody. We are out.